You know the author, Victor Hugo, Hunchback of Notre Dame. The story that underlies the play Les Misérables, Victor Hugo. He lived in the 1800s in France and wrote in ways that set him apart. But he was also a poet. And among the lines that I've known of his for a very long time is this: laughter is the sunlight that banishes winter from the human face. Laughter, the sunlight that banishes winter from the human face. Charlie Chaplin, whom you know if you like old movies, is also a proponent of laughter. It is reported that he said, "A day without laughter is a day that is wasted." And I am a basketball fan. I know who Jimmy Valvano is. I remember North Carolina State winning the NCAA championship. And I remember Jimmy Valvano, when he was diagnosed with incurable cancer, saying, "We ought to laugh at least once every day." Beloved, we are hardwired to laugh. Babies laugh and giggle before they can explain to you why. Laughter, the biblical text tells us, is good medicine and makes the heart cheerful. We are designed by God to laugh. And it is out of that desire for laughter that the sermon series was born, The Gospel According to Cartoons. Lucy, our friend Lucy, is our very first character. And though we ought to laugh every day, I'm not so sure Lucy's hitting somebody with her lunchbox is worthy of laughter. But I know Sally has something to teach us. Sally is Charlie Brown's younger sister. And in this conversation with Linus, her heartthrob, she gives us a straightforward understanding of evangelism, according to Sally. If you read the cartoon on the front of your bulletin, you'll see that Sally's notion of evangelism is a take no prisoners, get everybody into the camp any way you can notion of evangelism. Sally's sense of evangelism is that it is her job, by sheer force of will, her job, to convert those to the religion she holds dear. Oh, my brothers and sisters, that's a dangerous, dangerous kind of evangelism. But I understand how people get there. I have a friend who was a pastor in Massachusetts, and she and I were ordained on the very same day in Boston. We were always rivals because we had invited the same people to our ordination, and they had to decide where they were going. I won some, she won some. But we always joked with one another about always being on the opposite ends of the spectrum. And one day, in a dialogue about what was the mission of the church, my sister stood and said, "It is to evangelize." And I remember sitting there saying, "No, it's to love." And we got into this fabulous argument in the presence of a whole lot of people, because she had taken the understanding of the Great Commission. You heard Glee read it from the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is clear. Go ye in all the worlds and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them whatever I've taught you. And I'll be with you until the end of the age. It's the last thing Jesus says in Matthew. And I have learned that people remember what you say to them last. So I understand how people get to this place of, it's to evangelize. That's our most important role because of the Great Commission. But beloved, there's a big difference between the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Just six chapters before the Great Commission, Jesus says to the Pharisees, who, as Glee rightly said, are trying to trick him, You see, in the ancient Near East, for the Jewish men and women, there was no one commandment greater than the other. 613 commandments can be ferreted out of the Old Testament, and it was not appropriate to set one above the other. So that question was to see if they could trap Jesus. Which of these is the greatest, they asked. And did you notice that he answered with two? The first is to love God, to love the Creator, to love the Divine One with your heart and soul and mind, to love the Creator, to love our God with every ounce of our being. And the second, Jesus said, is like unto it, meaning the second is equal. He'd lifted two commandments above the rest. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. What Jesus is saying is on these two commandments, one must understand everything that is written in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. On these two commandments, you must use them as your doorway into all that was written in the prophets. Nothing in the law, nothing in the prophets must be exacted, must be engaged, unless first there is an ethic of love. What if evangelism? What if the sharing of the good news of Jesus? What if the sharing of God's great forgiveness, of God's unending mercy, of God's ever-present grace? What if the sharing of God's welcome to the stranger? What if the sharing of God's hope and God's courage and God's call on us to go and share the story? What if it all began in an ethic of love? Lunchboxes being wielded would not be the way. If the sharing of the good news, if evangelism began in an ethic of love, you know how it would begin? It would begin first with action. You see, my mother used to say, I can't hear what you're saying for listening to what you're doing. I can't hear you, Zena, when I watch you mistreat your sister, which I did on a regular basis. I can't hear you when your attitude is unpleasant for a child. I can't hear your love. Oh, dear. Andre, I have to tell this story. I will never forget, early in my ministry here, we had a horrible fight at home on a Sunday morning. I spoke in ways unbecoming to a Christian, let alone a wife. Hopped in my car, drove here in this white robe and proceeded to preach, and he sat the whole time like this. Like, where was she this morning? I can't hear what you're saying, preacher, if you act ugly in the morning. That's why you should never try and pastor your spouse. It doesn't work. They know too much about you. What if evangelism began by our actions? What if we were love? What if we were peace? What if each morning we set as our intention to be kindness, to be grace, to be mercy, to be hope, to be that which we want to share in the good news of Jesus? What if we set our intention each morning before our feet hit the ground and said, God, today my way of being your evangelist is I am going to seek to be patient in every situation. I'm going to seek to be gracious even when grace is not merited. I'm going to seek to be peace. God, I'm going to seek to be the intention I wish to share. What if evangelism began first with action? Action that was meant to share the good news that the biblical text gives us. Action that welcomes someone into that space that says, your behavior is so curious in this situation when it seems like anger or judgment or criticism is warranted, and yet you seem to be something else. What if our intention was to be, to strive, because we're not perfect, to work toward being love? Our evangelism would be different. It wouldn't take lunch boxes, because we would look curious enough to the world that someone would say, how are you that way in this moment? I want to come and know more so that I can be more of that. And I've never seen a better example of it than as I sat at home recuperating from this hip surgery and watched the families of the South Carolina Nine. Do you remember the day that I almost played the clip, but it's too much. Do you remember the day in the courtroom when the families of those nine members who had lost their lives in church stood before a video screen and talked to the young man who had been the shooter, and person after person said, you've broken my heart, but by God's grace and by God's mercy, I forgive you. By God's grace and by God's mercy, I pray God's blessing upon you. What evangelism? By their actions and then their words. The morning after that event, I happened to be watching the CBS morning show, and there's a commentator whose name is Gayle King, and she said that morning on the set for all of America to see, I don't go to church very regularly, but I went this past Sunday because I want more of what they have. Oh, beloved, when unlike Sally, we swing our lunch boxes of judgment and criticism. Unlike Sally, when we behave the way the world expects the church to behave, the world expects the church to be exclusive and to have a finger pointed and to be judgmental and to be critical. When we act outside of that and act in the rubric that Jesus gives us in the biblical text of grace and of mercy and of love and of hope and of welcome, we surprise everyone. I believe we are called to evangelize. I believe the Great Commission is correct, that we are to go into all of the world and we are to make disciples. But please know that phrase is not make them with a lunchbox. It is to make them as you are a spiritual sojourner with them. To make a disciple is to be in relationship. And that is the key to evangelism. That someone has seen our action and heard our words and desires to be in that relationship. Yes, the Great Commission is our call, but we do it only through the doors that are open for us in the Great Commandment to first love. On this hangs all the law and the prophet. That's what they showed us in South Carolina. That's what Sally is missing. And that's what we are called to do. Go into the world. But clothe yourself in love. Go into the world and sojourn. Walk with others to make them disciples, to invite them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Yes, but do so with love. Go into the world knowing that to evangelize is to tell the story with our actions and our words. And the conversion of a soul is so far above our pay grade that we ought not even know the word. To convert is the power of God's Spirit to come and speak silently and closely to a heart. It's not our job. Our job is in word and in action to defy Sally's way of making disciples. It's to speak with love and with joy and to say, here is how this story informs my life. Here is how I have been forgiven. Here is how I have been graced. Here is how I have been included. Here is how I have been loved. Our story, our words, and our actions. So if you want to be an evangelist for the Savior, here is what I invite you to do. Every morning, set your intention. Say, God, today to be your spokesperson, I need to be, and then name the intention. I need to work to be, and then name your hope. I am going to strive to be, and then name that thing, and cover it all with love. For this is the great commandment, that we love God and one another and ourselves. Oh, Sally, you never would have hit Linus with that lunchbox because you love Linus. You're trying to draw Linus close to you. Sally, that you might love the world so that never will a lunchbox be used as a weapon in your hand for evangelism, but only God's great gift of love. May that be our hope as well. God is here, and we, his people, meet to offer him a prayer and praise. But what we really want is to be in fuller measure who it is God has created us to be, who it is, and that is a people of love.